just talk to the Lord. We just want to give a Selah for just a moment. Let's give you a moment just to share your heart to the Lord, what you've been singing already. Just pray to Him right now. Of our heart this morning. Grateful for our students that are back from Infuge with a passion to lead us in worship. Father, I pray you'd let our faith arise. Lord, there is a healer. There's a God who loves us and knows our name. Lord, as we've talked about over these last several weeks in the Psalms, that you are our significance. Our song, and this morning we declare to you that you are our sanctuary. Lord, we're mindful this morning there are some, Lord, a family and others that knew this young man this week that are really struggling this week. Lord, they've walked through tragic days that don't make a lot of sense to us on this side of eternity. But Father, you are the healer. You are our refuge. Lord, Psalm 46:10 says, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So, Father, we pray that you administer to this family in a very special way and to those who have been impacted by it. Father, we pray this morning that you would allow the power of your word to simply just saturate this place and speak to us in ways to challenge us, to remind us of truths that we know, but sometimes in this busy world, they get clouded. They get buried. Father, hear us, I pray. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. There's a story told of an older lady who had gone to Europe to visit. She had gone, and in this trip, they were going to visit some of the most beautiful cathedrals that have ever been built. And you may have seen some pictures of these, and some of you may have even been privileged to visit some of these incredibly beautiful cathedrals that have been built. There's no sound systems in them. Jake, you'd love them. There's no sound systems in them. They're built so acoustically that the sound just reverberates all around the room. You don't really even need a sound system. It's pretty amazing. Beautiful stained glass windows, statues. And this lady was visiting, and she was walking around and listening to the tour guide. And this one particular building they were at, this church, had hundreds of thousands of visitors a year. The lady, though, was kind of unimpressed, and she was from the States, and she finally looked at the tour guide. She said, well, tell me this. How many souls have been saved in this church this year? And the guide, flustered, looked at her and said, lady, this is a cathedral, not a chapel. What a damning statement to be made of the church in Europe, and if not careful, in our own backyard. I want to tell you, this building is a beautiful building, and many have said, and it's certainly true, you want the church to be one of the most beautiful buildings in the community, and it's certainly true, and we are blessed and grateful for this place to worship. But my encouraging challenge to you and to me would be this, that it is a sanctuary that is set aside for the worship of God. But I always pray that this is a building, that this church is not known by the grandness of the building, but it is known by the greatness of God that resides in those who come into this building. That greatness is known by how we live out our faith and how we demonstrate in our lives the greatness of God in the good moments and the difficult ones. That we reflect the greatness of our God. We serve a great and an awesome God who is grand and marvelous and wonderful. And I pray it's never written over our doors and there's tours coming through to show. And I pray when there are people that come through here and from time to time I get to people had never been in this building, and they'll come from time to time in this building. I said, let me take you around and show you. And when I want to show them around this building, I want to show them and walk around and say, this is the pew over here where so-and-so's life was changed. Take them back to a preschool building and back to a preschool room where there are people right now volunteering and loving on a baby and changing a baby's diaper and loving on a four-year-old and telling them the Bible in a way that they understand it. This is where life change is happening. Walk into a children's room at 9:30 in Upstreet and there's music playing. A way that ministers to them and teaches them about the Word of God. This is where lives are changed. Walk them into Fellowship Hall that prayerfully this year we'll host some events, maybe even in this building, that will be open to our community. The people that are lost and never stepped foot inside this building and say, this is where lives are transformed and changed. That's what makes this a sanctuary. And so part of this Psalm 84 we just read a few moments ago kind of is talking about specifically the temple of God. And at that moment for the Jewish nation, the temple was a very holy and a sacred place. And so many of you and I grew up in a day and age where the sanctuary was a very holy place and you didn't ever raise your voice. You never clapped. Oh, Lord, we grew up in a church. You never clapped. It was rare. Maybe Handel's Messiah, Hallelujah Chorus at the end of like Carols by Candlelight. But other than that, you sure didn't chew gum. You did not run. I mean, you didn't even have a fast walk or death would come. An older person would look over at you and, don't you know where you are? No, ma'am, where am I? You're in the house of God. I remember as a child looking around going, whoa, where is he? I mean, is he going to jump out behind this column and say, boo, it's God? You know, I mean, what? It is almost scary. Now, that said, some of you are going, all right now, preacher. What did he mean by that? Well, he meant reverence in the house of God. It showed reverence to God and respect the things of God. And I'm number one proponent of that. My children don't run into church building. Most of the time. We try to teach them not to anyway. It's hard to do in this building sometimes because it's kind of a multi-purpose building, so it's a little challenging. But I want you to know that the sanctuary of God is not just a building. Back in the Jewish days, it was. It was very holy. It was the Holy of Holies, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, that it was a very sacred place to the Jewish people. So much so this psalm was perhaps written in a time when the Jewish nation had been exiled to Babylon. And this author, this writer, one of the sons of Korah, one of those that were the gatekeepers of the house of God, was longingly remembering back and longing for the temple worship. There were some incredible days of worship at the temple. It's a beautiful, magnificent building designed that where the presence of God rested in that day and time. So that certainly was one indication. The second indication for you and I today to make this connection is that this building that we set aside as Petal First Baptist is designed to be a sanctuary to come and to worship the living God. And then we come every single Sunday. It's not just that we come just because it's what we're supposed to do. We come because we want to have an encounter with the living God. We want to meet with Him. We want to worship Him. We want to take the time to corporately together, outside of our individual times, but corporately together, we gather to worship the Lord. I meet people from time to time who say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to be a part of a church. I have a thing against church. And my encouraging word to them, and maybe you're here or you know somebody that's like that, and my simple statement to them is this, then you can't love God. Because if you really love God, you can love what God loves, and God loves the church. And God loves when the people of God gather together, though imperfect, though full of hypocrites, what people love to always say. And I would reply back, well, you go to Walmart, there's hypocrites there. You go to Walmart. Right? We worship here in this building. But beyond that is that you and I are a sanctuary. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, it says, for you and I are the temple of God. Sorry, 6:19. Give you the right reference. You and I, we are now the sanctuaries. And so we come to this building to worship and adore the Lord, to learn more about Him, to be transformed by Him, to then go out and be literally living sanctuaries of the presence of God that just simply overflows. And so why is worship important? Why be a part of a church? Because hopefully during the week you and I are spending time with the Lord, learning, growing in that relationship with the Lord. We come here and it's not usually, though from time to time it's going to happen, but by and large, we come to worship not so we can get filled up. We get so we can just get to an overflow. So we go into a lost and dying world tomorrow that you can't help but run into people and you simply have to share what God told you yesterday, what God did in your life this week. Because it just kind of oozes out of you. Just you can't help it. Jesus talked about it in John when he said that out of you, out of your soul, rivers of living water will flow out of you. Because we've encountered Christ. And the final thought of the sanctuary is the idea of heaven. Better is one day in heaven than a billion elsewhere. Three thoughts this morning. What does it mean to be a sanctuary? What is this that He is my sanctuary? First of all, notice this. In the first four verses, dwelling in the sanctuary of God. Dwelling in the sanctuary of God. Four things about that. Number one, we talk about our love. Verse number one reminds us, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. I don't know about you, but many of you have already expressed this, and it's really blessed me a lot. Do you miss when you're not here? Do you desire to be in this place? And we're in the summer times. So we're only meeting right now once a week. And so, boy, I miss being with you. I miss connecting with you. And not only that, I love to be able to worship with you. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, there are time for time, I love just to not sing for a moment. I just love to listen. Now, can I be honest with you for just a minute? Y'all know me. I like to be honest. Is that good? Can I be honest? Okay, good. 20 of you. Fantastic. All right, the rest of you are like, huh? One of the areas I believe God is growing us in, and He has grown us in, when I first came, my first Sunday, I sat right in that same seat. I need to move. Y'all get so used to me being over here, but I like to hide over here at the side. I remember sitting in that seat. And when it was time to sing, this is what I heard. You got that cricket music, Michael? Nobody was hardly singing. And we would clap from occasion in between each song, because that's what we're supposed to do to kind of uncomfortably get to the next one. But now, there it is. Thank you. That's what I heard. But now, this morning, I love to listen. Some of you, because well, we've added some hymns, and that's helped a little bit, and it has. Some of you like to sing those hymns. You're more familiar with those. But I love to listen. You know why? Because sometimes we know each other's stories. We know where we've come from, where we've been. And to know that you're standing and praising the Lord in spite of maybe what your week's been like. Or maybe your week's been great, and it's super great to rejoice with you in what you're rejoicing over. We come to the body of Christ together to worship. There ought to be a love for the sanctuary of God. A love, a desire, a longing, if you will. The second one is here. Verse number two says, I long for that. Another psalm, Psalm 42 and Psalm 63, two of my other favorite psalms that echo this idea. Listen to Psalm 42. And verse 1 says this, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Psalm 63, one of my other favorites, says, Oh God, you are my God. I will seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I've beheld you in your sanctuary to see your power and your glory because your loving kindness is better than life. There's that song I just sang. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Did y'all hear that one right there? That wasn't written to Pentecostals, just only. Non-denominational Assembly of God. Baptists can read this word too. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Now that sounds gross, doesn't it? Fatness. What does he mean by that? Think about it for you. And I hate to say this at 11:15, but I'll just go ahead because I'm going to lose you when I say this. But just think about that favorite food. it's just chock full of taste. It's something you really love. You got that in your mind, what that is for you? If you could get a hold of it right now. You got it? Some of you start smiling. I love it. I wish I could know what it was. Okay, let's do it. On the count of three, just tell me what it is. Ready, everybody together. Ready? One, two, three. Tell me. Good, it's very good. All right, good, good, good. Oh, that's great. Listen to all those different things. That's the body of Christ, right? It's marrow. It's fatness. It's like getting the best part of the steak. It's the best part of the meat. It's the best part of something that you love. He says this. He says, listen, Lord, my soul is satisfied with what? With you. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. What a powerful cry this is. He says, this is what I long for. And so many times we fill it with the counterfeit things of the world that will never fulfill our longing. It will only do it temporarily. It will only do it for a season. One of the best proofs of salvation, so I don't know if I'm a Christ follower or not, one of the best things is, what do you long for? What do you love? Third thing is, what do we look at? Here, the psalmist is looking at the birds. He sees the sparrow and the swallow, and he's really saying this, I'm jealous of the birds because they get to make their nest inside the temple near the altar of God. I wish I could be there. I'm jealous. It's kind of like some of us think, you know, back in the day, it's a little different now for now, but some of us, well, I wish I had your job, preacher. I could just be with God all day. As if, like, God stays here when y'all go out of the building and I just get, like, a little, you know, little thing on God. I get in my little corner here. What in the day of the Bible, there was a special thing about the presence of God. And so this guy said, I'm almost jealous of those doorkeepers. They get to be that close to the presence of God. But yet, in our generation, in our day and age, listen to me. Church, now I get to preach to you because you're here this morning, so you can think, well, thank God I was here today. We wake up in the morning, and it's Sundays in our culture and Christianity. Sunday is an optional day. It is if I feel like it. If my week went okay, if I didn't have to work extra, if I didn't have to go to bed late, whatever it is, and it's a thing of depending on what I am, what's happened in my week, instead of it doesn't matter what happened in my week, it doesn't matter where I've been, what's happened, I will be a part of the house of God. You see the difference? It's a looking for. It's a matter of making our heart a home for the Lord. It's our love, it's our look, it's our longing. Notice the fourth one, it's our life. Verse 4, he says, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Let me ask this question. This is a rhetorical question. I answer out loud, but we would ask this question. Do you want to be blessed by God? And of course, every child of God would say, well, of course I do. What a dumb question, preacher. But if that's the case, if we want to be blessed of God, then we've got to bless God with our lives, with our worship, with our hearts. We bless God. We follow Him. God says, I will bless you. Now, remember the word blessing. If we're not careful in our day and age, we hear the word blessing, we think of send me $1,000 pledge, and God will bless you. God will bless you. Pour out the manna from heaven. You'll have no bills. You'll be out of debt. Send me $100 and I'll send you a holy handkerchief, right? I mean, is that really what we... And by the way, if you're ever going to do that, just send the church $50 and we'll send you some box of Kleenexes that we got from the church or something. You know, I mean, it'll be much just the same, all right? What I mean by that, we're not careful in our day and age. Blessing, we think, means financial blessing. But let me ask you a question. Can you think of a time in your life, and I pray it's been this last year, that you walked out of the sanctuary of God and you were blessed? I walked out last Sunday blessed. I walked out of Kids Extreme every night blessed. Our longing, our look, our love, and our life. What is your life? What makes up your life? Dwelling in the sanctuary of God. Secondly, drawing on the strength of God. Who can draw on the strength of God? Those who dwell in the sanctuary of God. Those who dwell in the presence of God would be the comparison. can't draw strength from something that you don't know. I'll give you an example. And I could come up here and pick the strongest person in the room. And I could say, all right, I've been thinking about lifting weights. I've been thinking about getting in shape. I've even driven by the Y. I've driven by it. I've actually been in the Y. I've been to the swimming pool. Now, I'm told they have weights and cardio classes and spin of death classes and things like that. I've heard that. When I make that comparison, I could come up here and you and I could say, well, I'm going to draw on that strength of thinking about lifting weights, driving by the place where you lift weights. Let's not even dream by the 24-7 place. It's a 24, you know, there's a place that's open 24 hours a day. You can go work out at 3 a.m. I just one time want to wake up just one time. If you had a dream, has anybody ever driven by 3 a.m.? Anybody been working out there? Anybody ever seen anybody? Jeff, you've been out at 3 a.m. and there was somebody there working out? Didn't you want to just stop and ask him and say, what is wrong with you? Did you want to ask him that? Man, impressive. So let's say I went going to arm wrestle the guy that's working out at 3 a.m. We get up here, and I'm going to draw on all my strength, right? Now, we're not betting people because we're Baptist. But if you were going to bet on somebody, who would you bet on, me or the guy that was working out at 3 a.m.? Okay, if you bet on me, you're just not real smart. Now, here's the comparison. When I face difficulties in life, when I walk through this life that I live, it is as if saying, well, I've been by the church. I've been in the building. But we never spend time in His Word. We never spend time in prayer. And we think we're going to draw on that strength. And it's not there. It's like Samson in the Bible. His strength came from the Lord. It was represented in his hair being cut. He went to draw on that strength again. It was not there. Why? Because he had quit going to the sanctuary. Drawing on the strength of God, two things or three things here. Number one, our heart must be right. The Bible says here, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose hearts are on the highway to Zion. What is he talking about, the highway to Zion? Well, Jesus would call it the narrow road. He's not on the wide road that Jesus said leads to destruction. He's on the narrow road. In this case, he was on the road that led to Zion. What is Zion? Zion meant Jerusalem. What was Jerusalem? Jerusalem is where the temple was. In other words, my heart is set on the things of God. And I'm on that path. I'm on that road. And by the way, our road is set to one thing. And we forget this from time to time. We think our road is set on finishing high school. Our road is finished on graduating from college. Our road is getting a job. Our road is getting married. Our road is getting married and having children. Our road is getting older and having grandchildren. Our road is getting older so I can retire. Listen, let me tell you what should be the end of your road. And it should be always in view. Not those other things will not be a part of that, because they will. But the ultimate end of your road is eternity. It's heaven. It's the sanctuary of God. And when we have that as our end, then it helps us when we get detoured and sin draws us off the track, or we get off the road ourselves. We're drawn back because we're reminded that our heart must be right. Secondly, notice this. Not only is our heart must be right, the highway sometimes is rough. Here, the word in verse 7, he says in verse 6, passing through the valley of Baca. Now, that's not a literal location, but the word Baca means sorrow. I alluded to it in my prayer. There are some in our community who have walked through that valley. They're walking through it right now. Some of you have walked through it like me. You've walked through it over this last year in your life. You've walked those difficult days. But notice what it says here. It says, they walk through that valley, they make it a spring. What in the world does that mean? Well, here's the good news. You can walk in the valley, but even in the valley, God is good. And in those moments of the valley really finds out what our faith is like. It finds out where the rubber meets the road. Is if we say we love the Lord, do we love the Lord in the good, but we also love Him and trust Him in the bad? In those moments of the difficult moments, what He's saying here is this, is that though it was a desert, I made it a spring. I made it with water that overflowed. And it wasn't that they did it, it's how they reacted to where they were. Folks, we cannot change the circumstances usually of our lives, but we can change how we react to those circumstances. We can. We can make a conscious decision to rely upon the Lord and say, Lord, I am in the valley, and it is hard, and it is difficult, and it is full of tears and sorrow and heartache. But it is even in those dark moments that we say, Lord, help me through, carry me through. I'm holding on to You. I am clinging to You, the psalmist says. And when we do those things, guess what? It becomes a spring, even in the place of sorrow. Not only that, he says here, I'm on the way to Mount Zion. I'm on the way to the mountain. Some of you, you're on a mountaintop. Life could not get any better. And praise God, we all have those moments too. And even there, where we those moments, and teenagers, you are on a mountaintop. Right? I've been here a year. I've never seen y'all huddle in a circle right here and clap before church. Now, good news is tomorrow's Monday. You know what's going to happen tomorrow? Your mom and dad are going to be there saying, wake up. Some of you are going to have to go back to a job. You're going to have to go back to your brothers and sisters. Isn't that exciting? So you've already gone back already. You already love your parents more than ever before because they woke you up this morning to go to church, right? Some of you had to drag and kick you out of bed. But we draw on that strength of those mountaintop moments, those valley moments. And we draw on that strength. It helps us know in verse number 8 that our hope is real. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. What do you mean, what's my hope? Listen, God hears your cries. There's a great psalm. I can't remember if we're going to look at it this summer off the top of my head, but there's one of my favorite psalms. It talks about the false gods and that they cannot hear. Sometimes you talk to your children and you wonder, are you hearing me? Is my mouth opening? Am I communicating? You might think that with your spouse, with your parents, whatever the case may be. Can I just give you a good word this morning? God hears your prayers. The only time that God doesn't hear our prayers, the Bible says, is when our hearts are full of sin. We get our heart right with the Lord, God hears us. And that prayer that He will hear us is, Lord, I have confessed my sin. I want to repent of my sin. God hears your prayers this morning. Folks, our hope is real. It's not just some, boy, I hope it's real. It is, I know. Paul said, I am convinced. Notice the last one. Delighting in the presence of God. We dwell in the sanctuary of God. We draw on the strength of God in the sanctuary. And thirdly, we delight in the presence of God. That's why we come here sometimes to gain a fresh perspective. Sometimes we get beat down by the world. Wouldn't you love from time to time to take your life group with you to work? It's kind of like that great NCAA cheerleader commercial. Have y'all seen it? You know, the guy's going to work and they're there in the science lab and, you know, the band's there and the cheerleaders or whatever, and they got the band there doing their little thing, you know. Or they go in for his job interview and the mascot comes and blows the confetti or whatever. We think, well, wouldn't it be nice to have them with me? That would be awesome. I can draw on that strength. But I want you to know that delighting in the presence of God means we delight in it here. Then we carry it with us. Though I'm not going to go with you to work tomorrow. My heart will be with you tomorrow. But I will be with every one of you because I can't possibly imagine where all of you will be tomorrow. But the Holy Spirit of God can and does. And will walk with you tomorrow and build off of what has happened here. What happens here? We gain a new perspective, right? So tomorrow we go to work on Monday. Maybe you've been out of church a while and you're here in church today, and maybe you go to work tomorrow and you go and you walk in tomorrow morning and you've got a meeting or you've got some dreaded something coming up, and maybe in the back of your mind will pop up that little cheerleading group or it's your life group. you know. The little pom-poms, come on, come on, right? You know, they're saying, you can do it, right? What does it do here? It gives us a fresh perspective. When we're by ourselves, when we're in the world, when we're in our job, and nobody understands me, we come here and we sometimes get a fresh perspective on life, on God, on our faith. We can answer our questions. We can deal with what we're walking through, and we get a fresh perspective. And we go, that's right. Lord, that's right. Lord, you're going to help me. You're going to walk with me. Somebody reminds us of a truth, and we're down in the scourge, and somebody comes alongside of us and wraps their arms around us and says, listen, I know where you are. I've been there. And I want you to know I'm going to be praying with you this week. That's better than having any cheerleading squad go with you or band or whatever. Well, three things we got to be through this morning. Our prayer. Verse 9 here, the psalmist prays for the anointed. Thine anointed. What is he talking about? He's talking about the king. He's praying for the king. Well, why pray for the king? Well, for the Jewish person to pray for the king meant I'm praying for the Messiah to come, because they knew the Messiah was going to come through the line of David. So they wanted to pray for that king, that God would sustain him so the Messiah could come. For us, by the way, our prayer for us today to pray for thine anointed, who is that? That's our leaders. That's our government leaders. We need to be praying for them. Oh my, how do we need to be praying for our government leaders in the day and age in which we live? I know you would agree with that. And next Sunday, we're going to set aside a season to do two things. Number one, recognize those in our armed services. Recognize them and thank them and pray over them. And then we're going to have a time and a season of prayer right here at this altar over our nation. Folks, our nation is in trouble. It is in crisis in all fronts. And we're called to pray. I don't know about you, but I feel helpless when I turn on the news and I look at all this garbage and I just want to just go, ugh. And if we're not careful, we start thinking of a political solution. Let me tell you something, that is never will it will be solved. It will be solved when the people of God get on their knees and fast and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Then He will heal our land. And we need it to be healed. So that's our prayer. The second thing is our pursuit. Our pursuit. What is that pursuit? Worship. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I wonder when you sang that, could you mean that? Lord, if all I get is this one day right here, that's enough. That'll last me 1,000 days somewhere else, indulging in the things of the world. This is enough. What will you pursue this week? Lastly, our praise. I love what he says here. He says, the Lord is my sun, He is my shield, and He is my source. The Lord is our sun. We're reminded of that bright sun we can't even look at. It's a reminder of the Son of God, where in heaven there will be no need for light because He will be the light. He is our God. He is the source of life and light. Just as the sun, if it vanished here on earth, so would we. So without the Son of God sustaining us, we would be able to draw our very next breath. The psalmist realized that. He is our shield. God gives us His provision and His protection. And by the way, that provision and protection doesn't always mean that bad things won't happen to us. We're oftentimes talking about, I was talking with somebody this week about the fact of, wow, I knew this moment in my week. Somebody was saying that I knew that God saved my life, literally. And I said, can you imagine all the other times that we don't even know that God sustained and protected us? We don't even know how many times it happened in the day. We don't know. But God is our shield. And lastly, He is our source. I love verse 11. Can you throw verse 11 back up there, Michael? Verse 11 says this. The Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. For the man who trusts in God, he says, listen to me. Listen to me, students. Listen to me carefully. Moms and dads, boys and girls, listen to me. God says, the one who delights in the Lord, who trusts in Him, He will withhold nothing good from you. Nothing. That's not a, that doesn't have a caveat around, doesn't have some description. He says, listen, I will withhold nothing from you. Well, we got to delight ourselves in him, first and foremost. The Bible says in another psalm, delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's not the other way around. We don't get the desires, and then we trust in God. We trust in God, and then the blessings come. And by the way, we don't do it and trust in God just so we can get the blessings. We trust in God because he's God. He's our Father. He is our Savior. But the byproduct of trusting in him is he says, I will take care of you. I will give you everything you need. What a promise to walk out with this week. There is listen to me. If you will trust in God, there is nothing in your week this week that God will not give you what you need. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know what I got to deal with this week. You're right, I don't. But God does, and he has already prepared for you if you will trust in him and delight in him and rest in him and be sustained by him, and he is your source. Then he says, I will be your son, I will be your shield, and I will withhold nothing from you. Will we be the sanctuary of God? Will I? Will we love his sanctuary, meaning coming together with the people of God to worship and adore him? Will it be our longing and our love and our look? Lord, would you prepare us to be a sanctuary? Would you bow with me? With every head bowed and every eye closed. You know this song. I want us to sing it one more time as before our invitation begins. You just sing it with us. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Father, as we come to a time of invitation, Lord, in order for us to make you our sanctuary, for some of us in the room this morning need to make some changes and adjustments in our lives. We need to come to the altar of God and get our lives right with you because we've gotten off course. Or maybe for some, they're dwelling in that valley of Baca, of sorrow, of grief, of mourning, sadness. Lord, some just need to come to this altar and say, Lord, I need you to be my sanctuary, be my sun and my shield and my source. Father, maybe some this morning have never placed their faith and hope and trust in you as Savior and as Lord. Never made you their sanctuary. So, Father, I pray we'd be willing to make that decision as well. Maybe somebody to come and join this church family. Father, maybe there were decisions made during this week at Infuge or during the week, not even related. Some have found Christ. You need to make that public this morning. Be baptized, be a part of this church family. Father, I pray whatever decision is on our hearts, Lord, maybe it's to go to somebody across this room and say, I know you're struggling. Can I just pray with you? You can go to a corner of this room, pray with them in their seat, bring them to the altar, whatever it is that God, you would call us to do. And we'd be obedient. And Lord, not just sing a song, but Lord, to live it, to breathe it. Lord, that you would draw us close to your heart. And we'd be able to declare to you, Lord, you are all that I need. I pray we'd be able to worship you again, Lord. For some of us, our response to this message and service this morning is to sing this song unhindered and declare it unto you. Lord, you are all I want. You are all that I need. And Lord, if we're not at that point, we get there today before we leave this building. We do whatever it takes to get to that point. Father, hear the cries of our hearts as we continue to worship and respond to you during this time of invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us? We're going to